Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
That was Ben Cherington's press conference on Derek Shelton's firing. He said he made the recommendation to the owner and the team president to get rid of him, and they agreed. So Ben Cherington pushed or shoved, I would say, Derek Shelton under the bus. He finally detached himself from Shelton. They were pretty much brought in together, Cherington first, then he hired Shelton. They were attached at the hip, and every step of the way, Cherington had voiced support of Shelton. He gave Shelton the contract extension prematurely, very early on 2 years ago when the team was only 14-7. That's how much he believed in him. And I would say, just hearing that, it sounds like a self-preservation move where after a bad August, a bad September, and a bad April, three consecutive bad months, year six into a rebuild, Ben Cherington figured the only way to extend or buy more time for myself is to get rid of this guy, and that's why I'm going to go to the owner and the team president and do it. He could have said that it was a collective decision, that they all came together and made the decision at once, which wouldn't have made it seem we would have had to then read between the lines as to who had the idea first. But by saying he went to the other two, that's how I read this situation.
That, better save my own ass.
Yeah.
He also, the quote in there contained within the part we just listened to that I find predictable because it's on the same track as what you're saying here, but beyond ridiculous. Quote, I don't think you have to squint too hard to see a stronger team on the field in 2025. I believe we have the players in the organization who will help us do that, end quote. If he doesn't say that, he's admitting he's done a horrible job building an organization and building a major league roster. That said, that statement itself is laughably out of touch with reality.
Well, that sentence or that quote on its own makes me think, if I just pulled that comment, that Cherington felt like he had a good team that was being let down by its manager, that the manager was actually like among their chief problems for their struggles this year.
I gave him more, he's doing less.
Yeah, but then he said, Cherington, I'm more responsible than anyone, and it starts with me. Which, by the way, both comments are factual. It's true. But he seems to have hoodwinked or convinced the owner that doing one right now and not both is what's in the best interest of this team. And I guess I'm just surprised that no one else, like I guess Travis would be the second-ranked person in the organization. He's technically Ben's boss. Why wouldn't he... Or why wouldn't somebody else in like the ownership group below Bob, someone who's close to him, say, well, wait a second here. Why are we just getting rid of this guy and not both?
The other guy admitted that he's more responsible. If
right.
We got rid of the less responsible guy, it stands to reason we should cut the head off the snake here, so to speak.
Like hearing Ben talk, I could understand why. Not that people have sympathy for Derek Shelton necessarily, but just feel like he's a scapegoat. Cherington said there that like this is a group organizational failure. Not one man is responsible for the plight the team finds itself in. Okay, well then why is only one person getting fired? That's what I would ask. Ben, if you really think that multiple people here have let the organization down and are not doing their job well, well, then why are we just getting rid of one person?
If you think you're more responsible than the guy you just recommended be fired, you should have done the honorable thing and tendered your resignation.
Yeah. Or if it's like a systemic thing, get rid of multiple people at multiple levels.
Jason Mackey did suggest, I asked him that point blank, and he indicated that Shelton had a ton of influence in hiring like support staff and like people who might have some hand in game day ops or whatever. Maybe not obviously not Donnie Kelly, but other people like that. Not, I don't think like any other coaches, but I think you're probably going to see some minor names that people haven't heard of get let go. Like, I think there's going to be like down the line people that were just like Derek Shelton people that are gone.
Donnie, what's your reaction to hearing Charrington give his spiel and his take on what went on here?
A guy who shouldn't have been talking today because he should also be on the same line as Derek Shelton.
He should be packing his desk. He should have a cardboard box, right, Donnie, and be packing his office?
And I mean, I agree with the point that Chris has made for, what, the last two or three days now. Like, why would you have the trust in this guy to run you through another draft? Like, you're going to be a month from now picking another set of players out of a gigantic crop, and this guy will be lucky to maybe find one of them.
How about trade deadline?
Hell, we'll probably see the guy in like 7 years.
How about trade deadline? How about when is the right time to call Bubba Chandler up? These are all pretty big decisions
that GM would have the more or less exclusive latitude to make.
Right. And he's still calling the shots here.
Like I don't know. I tried to just come up with on the fly like a devil's advocate position for myself here just to try to think of some other angle that could be considered, and I can't. He shouldn't be allowed to run the draft. He should not be allowed to exist as the Pirates general manager, employed as such, for one more hour, let alone one more day. And yet it sounds like his sales pitch to them that it was a Derek Shelton problem and Derek Shelton being gone is going to yield better results won the right people over. I think this is more spinning your wheels. I think this is dealing with one of the symptoms or one of the causes of the problem, but not all of it.
I also think if what he said, because again, you take everything that these guys say in these situations with a grain of salt. They're not under oath. They're not perjuring themselves if they lie or anything like that. But he sounded like a man who had, from his vantage point, had serious questions about Shelton because of the way last year ended. He said, like most Pirates observers have said, that this is a carryover from 2024, that this dates back to August 1st of last year and the way the team ended. He said, we got punched in the face multiple times. Mm-hmm. I don't understand then, if this was such a pivotal year, such an important year for the Pirates, if he thought that way about Shelton because of the way last year ended, why didn't he just do it then? Like, why didn't he make that recommendation to Travis Williams and Bob Nutting then?
What if he did? What if he did, and one or both of them said, "No, I don't think it's the right time."
Well, then I would, in that way, I would have more respect for him if it happened that way. But
have you heard that it did?
No, I have not. But again, though, like even in that scenario, he's still trying to say blame him and not me. When Charrington has more agency over the success and failure of the team at large.
Neat trick to say, I'm more responsible than this guy, but you should fire this guy. Okay, you're going to let me fire this guy? Great, let me stay on the job even though I'm the bigger problem.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Problem.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Steelers and Cowboys have made the George Pickens deal official. Steelers get that 2026 third-round pick, also a fifth-round pick in the 2027 draft. Cowboys get George Pickens and a 2027 sixth-round pick. So that's the draft 2 years from now. That draft will be in Washington, D.C. Steve Palazzolo joins us, 33rd team, one of our favorites. Steve, who won the Steelers-Cowboys trade of George Pickens and why?
Always has to be a winner and a loser, huh?
Yes. This is sports talk radio, Steve. You know better.
Well, you can say both teams won it or both teams lost, but it can't be a tie.
Both. I mean, if George Pickens, if everything ran its course in Pittsburgh, then the Steelers did well to get a 3 and a 5 and exchange, you know, through the six pack. That's a decent return. If you knew it wasn't going to work out, I don't know enough about that internally. On paper, I think it would have worked out. I mean, on paper, I would have liked to see George Pickens and DK Metcalf, and if it's Rodgers throwing them the ball. And then from a Dallas perspective, they had a massive need at wide receiver two, and they fill it. And so now the Steelers have a massive need at wide receiver two. And I would say from a Pittsburgh perspective, if the goal is to set up for 26 and 27, as far as the draft goes, they're in really good shape for that. So that feels like a win for the Steelers.
Steve, what do you attribute maybe the curious timing of this deal when a lot of people felt like the Steelers were pretty set on trying to get it done during the draft?
I have a feeling Dallas really wanted Teterowa and McMillan as their wide receiver too. So my read on it is Dallas would have loved to have McMillan at 12. He's their wide receiver too. They would have filled their guard need later, maybe in the second round, and then they wouldn't have to force the trade, or maybe they would have used the trade cap, you know, draft capital to trade for a guard. I don't think this happens if a different draft pick is made by the Cowboys. So I think that's what happened. And I think from a Pittsburgh perspective, I don't think they cared a ton about this year's draft when, you know, maybe next year's draft is the place where they can start maneuvering to go find that quarterback. So I think that's why it ends up working out after the draft.
If you were Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin, would you be more into focusing on winning as much as you can in 2025 or doing what you praised them for before, and that's building up draft capital for 2026 and 2027?
Yeah, in my seat where I don't have the pressure of being the GM or the head coach, I always look to next year. I am always okay with looking to next year. Not always, but like when the roster is in this position, when the quarterback situation is in this position. I don't know. At this point, I don't know about the benefit of having Rodgers and trying to squeeze out another 9 or 10 wins. And I would love to see the Steelers flip it forward, look at 26. I think they've got a great young foundation from drafting the last few years. Continue to build on that and then put yourself in position, because the QB classes of 26 and 27 look much better. And, you know, maybe that's the place to go and the thing to focus on. I'd be all for looking a year ahead, especially where the Ravens and Bengals are in their lifespans. I mean, I think the Bengals should be, they're always going to be competitive with Burrow. They shouldn't be as bad as they were last year, and they were on the cusp. And then the Ravens, you know, they're tough to beat. I would look to next year.
Steve, when you consider like the Steelers wide receiver room, just as it is now, no Pickens, does anybody there, because I around here, oh, Roman Wilson's going to have a much bigger role. Is there anybody that even you can squint and say could be an unconventional but effective wide receiver two next to DK Metcalf?
Well, I was a Roman Wilson fan coming out, and even I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, of course, just let him run with it. You know, I would much rather Roman Wilson in the number three role and then trying to steal snaps. So, no, I mean, the other thing about DK is he's always had Tyler Lockett, and then last year had Jaxon Smith-Njigba kind of take those snaps. We've never seen DK Metcalf as the guy without some sort of running mate. So that would be the other scary thing. But, look, I like Calvin Austin a little bit. I like Roman Wilson a little bit. I don't see any of those guys being a high-end number two. Robert Woods is probably past his time to be able to do that. So, no, I don't see a good, dependable number two. Much like Van Jefferson, I don't think was a good, dependable number two last year.
All right, here's a list I was given for potential outside the organization wide receiver two pickups the Steelers could make. And you, Steve Palazzolo, tell me which one you like the most. Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen, Alan Lazard, Romeo Doubs, Gabe Davis.
Oh, it's going to be Lazard, isn't it? It's going to be Lazard for Rodgers running a million slants again, isn't it? I would say Amari Cooper, but, you know, he's losing a step a little bit. I kind of get Keenan Allen, but I'm not going out of my way to get him. Who else was I missing in there? I mean, Gabe Davis is a good third. Doubs is the most interesting one to me. And he's got a little history with Rodgers. Doubs is the most interesting one to me because he might be pushed out of Green Bay. I think he's year three out of four here coming up. And I think he's got some ability to separate and get open. He's outstanding in August. He's Mr. August to me. Always tears it up in training camp. And he's a solid receiver during the season. I would say Doubs is most interesting.
Hey, Steve, to go back to what Andrew said just about like the way you would try to handle things this year as far as setting the Steelers up for the next year or two, would you be still, if you were in that chair, now you don't have that pressure, but if you were in that GM's chair, would you be looking to shop TJ Watt, especially with them taking Sawyer? You might get more, even more build up here and could have two just lights out drafts if you really wanted to because of the capital you might get, or no?
Now I would be. I know a couple weeks ago I was talking about re-signing him, but I was working under the impression that they might draft a QB and maybe have that guy that they're trying to build around. I would be really interested in the full rebuild. Let Cam Hayward kind of play things out. I would be interested in the TJ Watt trade at this point and going all in, you know, get 12 draft picks. They have five in the first three rounds right now, or four in the first three rounds?
First, a second, and three thirds right now for next year.
Three thirds. Okay. I mean, just load up, man. I mean, and plus the teams you might be competing with for quarterbacks next year, the Browns have two firsts, the Rams have two firsts. I'm not saying next year is like the 83 draft class, but the next couple of years, a lot more talented quarterbacks are coming out, and just putting yourself in position to draft one of those guys is going to be huge. So I would be really intrigued by that if I was a Steelers. I would make that move right now to build for the future and look to offload some assets.
Steve, I'm going to quote here Mike Florio, your friend from Pro Football Talk. He came on with us yesterday, and he said, the 49ers would love to dump Brandon Ayuk's contract on the Pittsburgh Steelers. What are your thoughts?
I have to look at the structure. I can't imagine that is fiscally sound for the Niners after they just re-signed him. That's why you don't see a lot of big name trades in the NFL, because the team has to eat so much cap. I can't imagine that would make sense. Yes. Especially when it just happened, right? They do it at the end of the contract.
Steve, I've got good news for you. Right now, the dead cap number for Ayuk in 2025 is a casual $65.2 million.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right. Yeah, it makes no sense. There's no, like, so no. Ooh. I mean, that was like the random guy throwing Dak Prescott trade rumors over there. Like, yes, if you want your entire cap going to dead money for Dak Prescott, yeah, of course he'll get traded. That's not happening.
How about the one that Steelers fans like to throw around? And that's, could they coax the Dolphins into trading Tyreek Hill to the Steelers? You want to respond to that one?
I mean, if you're going for it for this year, maybe. Yeah, I mean, again, like, you got to come to the conclusion, hey, if we're going for it this year, yeah, that'd be intriguing. Hey, go cover Tyreek Hill and DK Metcalf with maybe Rodgers throwing them the ball. But I wouldn't give up a ton for that. I would have my eye toward 26 and 27 if I'm the Steelers.
Just for the record, his dead cap is $56.9 million.
Man.
Like, why would that even be considered for the Niners? They just re-signed him, which is why that number is so high. So I would say that's
when I was just to be clear, there. I was saying that the Tyreek Hill dead cap is 56.
Tyreek. Oh, I'm still on Ayuk.
Ayuk's is even higher. Yeah, it's 65 for Ayuk and 56 for Tyreek still, which is kind of wild.
But I've heard Dolphins insiders say they think that Miami would trade Tyreek Hill if they got the right offer. I just don't know what the right offer is for him.
There's a lot that feels like he may have run his course over there, and the Dolphins went for it. They did one of those go for it moves, right? Jalen Ramsey, Tyreek Hill. They're starting to pay for it with a lack of depth, so I could see them trying to reset things a little bit.
Steve, just a very fun spitball here. Blind guess. You've only seen the one of these two guys play a couple of games in college. The other one has not played that many more. But to me, I think they're going to be the two most talented prospects who could come out in either next year's draft or 27's draft. Arch Manning or Lenoris Sellers. If I could guarantee you that the Steelers could get one of them, who would you want the Steelers to get?
Sellers is going to get so much hype this year, I think. I'll go Arch right now because I do think eventually he'll become that guy. Also, I'm a Florida fan, so DJ Lagway, 2027. Put all your assets into that. 2027, go get Lagway. He's the guy.
Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team. Thank you, Steve.
Yep, thanks, guys.
There you go.
It's the first DJ Lagway mention we've had.
I've seen him thrown out there.
I haven't seen him necessarily because he's 27, I guess. Maybe I haven't seen it as much. Most people think Arch is going to play a full two seasons in college ball as the starter. Pony, did you know Steve was a Gators fan?
I did not.
I feel like he's never mentioned that before in our multiple years of having a guest relationship with him.
Donnie, did you know that the brother of actor Paulie Walnuts was one of the priests who elected the new pope?
Get out.
Yes.
What? Wait, what? Tony Sirico was his name, yes. The late yeah. Tony Sirico?
Yeah. His brother.
Dude, you're not going to believe out. This.
Was in the conclave.
My brother knew he was an old pope.
He was an interior decorator.
Yep. The New York Post just reported that.
Sure enough, here's Robert Sirico.
The guy was in the mix.
Grand Rapids, Michigan. Priest of Grand Rapids.
He was writing a name down, folding it, and putting it in that bin.
Didn't Tony Sirico actually like run afoul of the law in real life and then eventually get into acting later? Because it sounds like you had the classic
so he was
good
a real
kid,
monster?
Bad kid. Well, I think he had like... he was shot in a dispute over a girl as
Damn.
A teenager.
That's pretty bad.
He was convicted of several crimes and was arrested 28 times.
No wonder why he was able to play such a compelling...
He served 20 months in Sing Sing, for God's sake.
Holy crap. Join Adam Crowley and True Fan Travel for a once-in-a-lifetime adventure to Ireland when the Black and Gold play across the pond this fall. 5 nights in Dublin that includes tours of Guinness and Jameson, pregame tailgate party, game tickets, and more. Hotel and air or land-only packages are available. For more info on how you can take over Ireland with Crowley, go to 937thefan.com today. That music means it's time for a Donnie Football Debrief, his biggest football topic of the day, and it's sponsored by Saloni's, Italian bread company, over 100 years of baking. Donald?
The Debrief, May 8, 2025. Kind of dipping my toes into the Judge Donnie well here because I had to give you guys pieces of evidence for debrief.
You submitted into evidence something that had me raging the second I saw it.
I wanted to make sure you guys had this in front of you, had a hard copy to be able to refer to during the segment here. So this was put out by Front Porch Sports, and it is just a college football list that is meant to get the masses fired up. They listed the top 100 most electric college football players of all time, and as you guys see in front of you, plenty of big omissions on this list. To me, I'll just give my general overview. It feels like the guys that put this together started watching football around 2010 and decided to just sprinkle a couple of older players in there as they saw fit.
Well, it's not even that. So they tweeted it out, right? I don't even want to give them credit, the account. And then they responded to their own tweet with rage bait, clickbait. Your favorite team isn't that special. Get some ball knowledge. Let me throw that get some ball knowledge right back to you guys. You said most electric college football players, and you've got Manti Te'o even in the top 100?
I mean, I don't mind their number one. They put Barry Sanders one.
I know, but they're like taking
that.
I know, but they're taking like the definition of electric just in an incredible literal way. Like Johnny Football is number two. Tavon Austin, yeah, he was electric, number three. Here is where I could point out a number of places where this starts to break down. Like, I don't know, Max Duggan several spots higher than Jamar Chase and Travis Hunter. Do you even remember what school Max Duggan played for, Donnie?
TCU.
Thank you. But was he an electric player?
No.
No, he was a game manager quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ranking 51st on the list here. Kenneth Shane Pickett. Ranking 56th on the list. Tony Dorsett, ranking 74th on the list. Larry Fitzgerald, unranked on the list. LeSean McCoy, Aaron Donald. I won't say Darrell Revis, although his punt return is one of the most electric plays I've ever seen. Ranked ahead or behind Kenny Pickett by 11 spots. Joe Burrow. What are we doing here?
I also just thought of, you brought up Tavon Austin. No Pat White. No Steve Slayton.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of other guys from like just that 07 college football season, which is just my favorite of all time. An Ohio State guy for me. How is Ted Ginn Jr. not on this list? Ted Ginn was one of the most electric college football players of all time. Maybe not top 10 or top 20, but he's absolutely top 100.
So people watching like Shady McCoy juke guys out of their shoes, for example, not electric. People watching Kenny Pickett play like a very good year of quarterback and do a fake slide once. Electric? More electric than Tony Dorsett or Aaron Donald.
He's not even the most overrated former Pitt or former Steeler on this list. They have George Pickens, 34. He's two spots ahead of Herschel Walker. Think about that. The guy missed all of a season where they won a national championship because he tore his ACL.
They've got Shedeur Sanders at 31, 13 spots ahead of Travis Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, he did have his jersey retired there.
Hold on. They've got Justin Blackmon in the top 25.
I mean, he was really good.
Come on, Pony.
Maybe the order of it, but I don't mind the top 10. If you told me that was the top 10,
I don't think Tebow was an electric player.
I disagree.
Oh, I actually think Tebow absolutely.
I think
belongs
you're out
there.
Of your mind, Chris. He absolutely deserves to be there.
He shouldn't be ahead of Bo Jackson. He shouldn't be ahead of Deion. He shouldn't be ahead of Lamar. Oh boy, he did a jump pass and ran hard. Yay!
How about Honey Badger being 28th?
You think that's too high or too low?
How is Vince Young not ahead of Tebow?
Vince Young should be in the top 10. They also have Cam Scataboo at 22.
I honestly have zero issue with where they rank Tebow.
Where's Peter Warwick on this list?
They probably didn't even know Peter Warwick ever played college.
Here's what they
Dennis
tried to
Dixon
do.
Dixon also not on
Hold
there.
On. Randy Moss okay is number that. 76. Yeah. And then here's one of these ones that these jamokes did to try to make it seem like they weren't just basically what Donnie accused them of, which is like 15-year-old kids. Steve McNair, Alcorn State. They probably had to have somebody tell them who he was.
There's two Penn State players on here. They have Saquon Barkley, 7th, most electric college football player of all time. And they have Micah Parsons, 99. You want to talk about an oversight? How about Kejana Carter?
Right.
Not on this list.
Dude, there were multiple guys on the offense for that 94 team that could have been on. Like, Bobby Engram was putting up numbers, but Kejana for sure.
I don't know. I don't think of Bobby
Ingram. How about Larry Johnson when he had 2,000-plus yards?
That's a good one. I don't think of him as an electric player, but based on some of the other losers that they put on this list, maybe I should.
I don't know. Was anybody just, like, foaming at the mouth over Deuce Vaughn's time at K-State? He's 95th.
I honestly think the most disrespectful thing might be where they put Dorsett, 56th.
They put a guy on. Now this is
that is insane.
This is
well.
On me.
Did you notice who's right ahead of Tony or right behind Tony Dorsett?
James Washington, big game James.
By that logic, I'm surprised they didn't put Magic Mason on here.
I'm just stupefied by some of this. Can I?
No, you're not. You secretly love it because we're talking about it.
It's rage bait. I'm embarrassed by this though. And if I am naming a player that I should know way more, who the hell? Who the blue hell is Brennan Presley?
I don't see it on here.
90th, Oklahoma State.
Oh, I think the person that made this list is an Oklahoma State fan, because look at all the Oklahoma
Chuba
State
Hubbard,
guys on here.
Thurman Thomas.
Zach Robinson is 42nd.
Thurman Thomas is on there at 96, but they used the wrong colors to make it look like he's from Clemson.
Yeah, he got a raw deal.
How is Mason Rudolph not on there?
That's what I just said. Yeah.
It's got to be an Okie State fan. You're right.
Because Barry Sanders is one, but then, I don't have an issue with.
But wouldn't an Oklahoma State fan not put Oklahoma players on there? They got Dede Westbrook for crying out loud at 58.
He also put Kyler Murray ahead of Adrian Peterson, which is outlandish.
Did he put Baker on this list?
No.
A Heisman winner.
Yeah, that's a bad job.
I'm just trying to see. Like,
Blake Bortles made it, though, at 94.
I just
Kool-Aid
McKinstry.
My guy Patrick Peterson made
Drew Locke and A.J. McCarron in there at 91 and 92.
Well, you boys know what the biggest injustice of all here is. One Tommy Frazier not included.
Good point.
Where the F is Tommy Frazier on this list?
All right.
It's the whole like, oh, you're accusing us of rage bait and clickbait. You only send that tweet out if you know that people caught you red-handed. I like this people, one, Donnie, though.
People accuse me of that, and I don't even know what the term meant until like 5 minutes ago.
I think the funny thing about you is that now you actually do that, but the fun organic part was that you actually did just put out your real thoughts unfettered, and it made people, they were so off kilter that they made people convinced that you were doing it as a bit. I think that actually kind of puts you in rarefied air. I'm surprised Toby Gerhart wasn't on this list.
Well, you know what he did. He played the game the right way.
How about Owen Marisic? We could get a fullback linebacker on there. Miles Jack.
That Toby Gerhart.
Oh, he was deceptively fast
that
when you see him in the open
constant field.
And I'll tell you what.
Wait,
you want to talk
Baker,
about a cerebral
Baker
player?
Baker is on the list. 19. Oh, they have him at Texas Tech, though, not Oklahoma.
Is it just an state of Oklahoma football fan, then?
I don't know.
Because there's a lot of Oklahoma State guys. Maybe you could have had a Tulsa player on there.
All right, you can go find that online.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.